Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 329 of Power Rangers. Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, episode 36, Beware the Mutiny.
It aired on November 12th, 1999, written by Judd Lynn, directed by Ryuta Tasaki.
Wow, my boy Ryuta's back.
Yeah, for this and the next.
Good. I miss him when he's gone.
And then he comes back for the last three.
Good. Gotta close out with their strongest hitter, pinch hitter. Also, most hitter. There's not a term for someone who does it the most. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Power Rangers, we come back and we talk about it, and you can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because we're in the Lost Galaxy now. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
It's like yellow in the sky sometimes.
There's like maybe some pink too. It's crazy.
It's crazy out here. You don't know what you're gonna get. We've been told this is a good one. A lot of people wanted to guess on this one, and like, sorry, we couldn't get anyone. I'm literally going on vacation tomorrow, so we're on like kind of crunch time right now.
Yeah.
So without any further ado, we are gonna go watch Beware the Mutiny.
Go Galactic! Back and we just watched Enter the Lost Galaxy. No we didn't. What was this one called? Escape the Mutiny.
Beware the Mutiny.
Look, we're in the Lost Galaxy. I'm all turned around upside down.
All the clocks are spinning. Plants are growing backwards.
It's crazy. Sometimes you're outside, sometimes you're in a room. You just never know.
Yeah, this episode, there's some buck wild stuff in this episode. Yeah. We're going to get to that in just a minute. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So is HeyJakeAndJosh.com. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphinGrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid or on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podknife. If you want to leave us a rating or review, that would be awesome. Also, we are on Patreon, patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. You've heard it all before. For as little as a dollar a month, you can support the show, and we really appreciate it, and it helps out a bunch. Speaking of patrons, we got one new one.
Okay.
So I would like to thank Steph.
Thanks, Steph.
It's Steph O. Kingston. She's from the Geekly Inc. family of podcasts.
Okay.
Like Drunks and Dragons, I think, is them, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't know if she listened to this one. I know she just started listening to Pokemon World Tour United. So if you do, hey, thanks.
We'll get to you on that one someday.
Eventually. I haven't done patrons on that one since I think the season, the Act 1 finale.
Well, we do patrons on the regular episodes, and we didn't do one of those for a long time.
Yeah.
So, look. Oop. We'll get it.
We'll get there. I want to talk about how buck wild this episode got, so let's just jump right in.
Okay.
We start off on the Blade ship being sucked into the Lost Galaxy energy hole that the book made last episode.
Yeah, it like flips him up. Kegler falls over. He's all like, oh no. And Villamax is like, I'm going to come get you, Power Rangers.
Yeah, oh, you're not getting away that easy, because Villamax rules. And so he goes to like... do something.
He goes to fly into the
Trakina's
wormhole.
Like, hey, maybe don't. Don't do that. And so then she like steers away from it and they barely escape it. So
yeah,
I guess
at some point Kegler explains like they just got sucked into the Lost Galaxy. Whoever goes in there never comes back out.
Yeah. And Trakina ain't about that life.
And even Villamax, after he hears that, is like, oh, well, we got him.
Good enough for me. So they managed to escape, and I guess we're not going to see Trakina for 5 episodes, however long.
I think it's like 7 before they escape the Lost Galaxy.
Cool, Trakina. See you for the finale. We cut to the Power Rangers, and we get the end scene from last time with Kai reciting the little poem. It seems like this is a reshot, like more drama-filled one. Like they're like, we got to do it more dramatic. More pauses, Kai. Get those sweet pauses in there. So it's just that again, and then we go to the theme song, and then we come back, and this is when everything gets crazy for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
There's like 10 solid minutes of buck wild shit going on here.
It's just nuts, because this is Mike and the Commander, right? And they're just like walking down a hallway.
Doing a walk and talk.
And they open a door to what I assume is the command
yeah.
area. And it's just outside.
They're on like a moon or
the door
an
leads
asteroid
outside.
Or something.
So I thought maybe I just misread where they were in the ship, and they landed somewhere, and it opened like an exit door.
That's what I thought too.
So they go out. There's like old ghost. There's the ghost of Grandpa Skeleton is out there.
Oh no! Don't put that evil on this ghost. Grandpa Skeleton's in the Found Galaxy. We're in the Lost Galaxy, where we are thankfully free of Grandpa Skeleton's horrible clutches. I don't know if I read this wrong. I thought that was Old Man Commander Stanton.
Was it?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think that's, I don't know if that's what they were implying or what, but that's the feeling that I got from this ghost.
I didn't get that. Well, the feeling I got was this is someone who got lost here and died, warning them to get out.
Okay. Well, we'll see who's right.
But that's all he says is get out here or you'll be a ghost too.
Well, he says something very interesting that I wrote down. I had to pause it so I could write this down because it is unintelligible. They're like, how do we leave? And he says, you go back the way you came, but you can never go back. But never look back.
Yeah.
Or something.
Go back the same way you came, never look back, or you will be lost.
Be lost.
So you can't...
You gotta walk backwards.
You can't look at the Lost Galaxy, or else you're in it.
Okay. But like, how do you... So you have to go backwards, but you can't look there, so you gotta turn around, walk backwards, and hope for the best.
You can go back the way you came without going backwards.
No, but they say you can't look... You can't look back and go back.
He's saying leave and never look back.
I didn't hear that part. I thought he said, like, you have to go back, but you can't look there.
I don't think he was giving
I
them,
thought
like,
this was an Orpheus situation.
I don't think it was instructions.
Okay.
I think it was, like, leave and never look
okay,
back.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. It's like, okay, I read it wrong then. So then there's, like a cut and a flash. And
well, yeah, someone taps on the commander's shoulder and is like, sir, and he turns around and they're now in command. And Kai is like, something is wrong with the systems.
All those systems are wonky.
And you can visibly see the commander's brain start to leak out of his ears.
Yeah.
Because he's just like dumbfounded.
It is cuckoo bananas. I don't know what happened in the writer's room where they were like, all right. We've put off using the pirate monster for long enough.
Yeah.
What if we send them to a lost... Or maybe what happened was... Because I've read the Passion of the Chip, which is the account of Judd Lynn's tenure on Power Rangers through Time Force, I think it is. At one point, he was basically getting notes from Jonathan Zacher, who was like the producer. So he was like the go-between between Saban and Judd Lynn, the showrunner.
Right.
So like apparently there were points where Zacher would like pop his head in and be like, hey, this is a new thing you got to do, and then leave. And so what I'm assuming happened is that Saban was like, why is it called Lost Galaxy? They should go to a Lost Galaxy. Tell him to do that. And so Zacher just popped his head in and was like, hey, Saban says do Lost Galaxy for real though. And then left. And Judd's like, okay. And then this happened.
Yeah.
Because it is a new show. Like, it's kind of a different show.
Yeah, they literally just shoved the big bad in the corner.
Yeah.
And they brought in a new one with new goons and new mooks.
It's just wild.
This is Lost Galaxy's Alien Rangers. It's like a mini season.
Yeah.
Within a season.
Hopefully it's not horrible like Alien Rangers was. Oh, before they go into the moon place, Mike says, like, we can't navigate. All of our navigation systems are down and there's no stars that we can navigate by. I'm assuming he means that we recognize because there's plenty of stars outside.
I do want to give props to the commander, too, for just kind of like rolling with it.
Yeah.
Because he turns around and he's inside now and Kai is there. And for a minute, he's just like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah,
and then he just goes, what about the systems, Kai?
Yeah. Kai's like, all right, everything's gone wonky. The what's it called is going, like, our clocks are all bad. And then we get a shot of, like, a clock spinning.
Yeah.
Time
is tossed. It's all over the place.
And then we get a shot of plants ungrowing.
Yeah.
Which is the weirdest thing in this episode to me, because, like, wouldn't that mean that
I was going to say,
are we going to get baby
are
rangers?
Are we going back to baby rangers?
Because, I cannot do it again. I just can't.
Maybe it only affects flora.
But I hope so. So then, we cut to underwater somewhere, where a giant stone dragon is on the, or well, stone dragon dinosaur thing.
I swear, again, we were just like, we were out in like a desert somewhere and all of a sudden it just changed to underwater.
We saw,
it might have been like a weird transition that they did, but it looked like it was supposed to be like, this is just water now.
I think what happened was they showed the water, but everything was like gray.
Oh, that could
be. So it kind of looked like just desert.
Yeah, that could be.
And then it like dipped underwater and there's a giant stone dragon and it like shakes itself a little loose and rises up. And oh, also it's a castle, much like how the turtle with the big castle on his back from the third Aladdin movie, the direct-to-DVD Aladdin and the Prince of Thieves.
I've never seen the third one.
Oh, it's very good. It's got King Midas's hand. I think it touches, turns to gold. He drops it and turns the whole turtle to gold and sinks. It's pretty great. I think we definitely talked about this on Kingdom Smarts. Yes, because we talked about Aladdin's hot dad. Because his dad shows up. He's just like, hi, I'm your hot dad, Aladdin. Hello. Then, like, the ship... It's a ship because we see, like, water falling downstairs and, like, clearing out of the inside of this place.
I mean, they call it a ship, but it isn't. It's a dinosaur with a castle on it.
But there is a steering wheel, so...
Yeah, you're right.
Basically a ship.
That's a ship.
That's all you need. You put a steering wheel on anything, it's a ship now.
How do you steer it?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you turn the wheel, obviously. Well, but yeah. Like, what part of the giant dinosaur does that affect?
I imagine it's kind of like how, yeah, reins on a horse, and you pull on one side, and it's like, all right,
oh,
I gotta,
okay.
Like, you spin it one way, and it like pokes something down, and then it's like, all right, I go this way, and you spin the other way, it pokes at something on the other side. It's like, all right, I guess I'll go this way now. I don't know how you would go up and down. That's not for me to know. That's for Captain Mutiny to know, because, hey, welcome to the new guy. His name's Captain Mutiny. He's a pirate ship.
His whole shoulders is pirate ship. it's crazy.
He's got pirate putties called Swabbies, which is great.
And they're so dumb, and I love them.
They are, like, orange bodysuits with board shorts and, like, a bandana.
Got their boxers on the outside.
And they have this, like, upside-down question mark symbol on their face that is a beard. It's like a goatee. It's really great. They're so dumb. In the American footage, they have like big inflatable swords, which is pretty awesome. There's also a couple robots. You know how like a pirate ship usually has like a rocket robot and a Gatling gun robot on it?
Yeah, and also another robot that's just made out of spiky balls.
I didn't even see that one.
Yeah, he was there. Maybe it was just his shoulders, but the... What's it, Rockatron, I think, has a giant rocket on his back, and also his arms are Gatling guns.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, the Gatling gun was a different one.
Was it?
Or no, it wasn't a different one. I thought they were two different robots.
No, because when they fight him later, he shoots them with his Mega Man hands.
Yeah, that's...
Or I guess his Barrett from Final Fantasy VII hands.
More accurately. Then we cut back to Terra Venture, where... Oh, Captain Mutiny's like, hey, I'm Captain Mutiny. Oh, we got a new... spaceship, let's go say hi. He's also got a very, like, what you expect a Power Rangers pirate to sound like.
He says just a lot of pirate stuff.
I've asked you, mateys, et cetera, et cetera.
So then lily-livered land lovers, I think he says.
Call the Swabbies that at one point. We come back to Terra Venture, and Commander's talking to Illuminati's 1 and 2, and they're like, why don't we just go back the way we came? And Commander's like, we don't know where that is.
Yeah, none of our navigational stuff knows what any directions are.
Yeah, we can't figure it out because we're in a weird place.
He does say there's no stars to go by, and like, I know what you're trying to say, but there's definitely stars out there.
Super duper 100 million stars.
There's no familiar stars.
Yeah, they're new and weird. So like, I get that part, but like, you can't just say this. Also, by the time you've gotten out here anyway, we don't know what the stars look like 15 million light years away.
Right.
We only know what they look like from our point in space. So there's that. Our, I guess, you know, points in space as we rotate the sun.
Right.
So Mike pops up on one of the videos. Most of the videos, he's in front of like a wall of video, like an MTV wall of video screens, and most of them are out.
It's like 90% static.
Mike pops up on one. He's like, Commander, there's an incoming vessel. Commander's like, what do you mean there's an incoming vessel? What's it look like? And this is maybe my favorite line read of the entire Lost Galaxy. Well, no, the chief mechanic line from two episodes ago is pretty great. But this is maybe definitely Mike's best acting he has ever done. He's like, it's looks like a castle on the back of a giant dinosaur.
He just says it like, I'm just going to say it because what else can I say?
What I love about this is that Mike turns into the ghost of a robot knight.
Yeah.
And then can get big and get inside of a bull.
Yeah.
And his brother and all of his friends get superpowers and then jump on giant animals that turn into robots, that turn into one bigger robot to fight monsters and aliens and stuff. But Mike cannot grok a castle on top of a dinosaur in space.
It's the castle that's throwing him off.
It's one too many things. And I just love how he's like, I just have to say it.
He asked what it was. I was hoping he wouldn't ask that.
I was hoping. You asked for it. It's this. Oh, Commander's like, this is crazy. What is happening?
Yeah, he's like, pull it up. I want to see it.
Yeah.
And then we get this like goofy shot of this stupid dinosaur running through space with a castle on his back.
It's like doggy paddling through space. But like, it's so the shot of it coming out of the ocean, it's like in like stone still, and it like cracks at the end and it all comes off. And the next time we see it is it floating through space in American footage, and it looks bad.
It does.
It looks like a really cheap Godzilla suit and then like a toy castle kind of on top. Like, it's hard to tell the castle's even there sometimes. We cut to a shot of some Swabbies and Captain Muni on two rowboats just rowing in on their, you know, through space.
Yeah.
You know how you can row in space? I think this is probably well established in Power Rangers canon that space has thickness and gravity. But they come onto Terra Venture. They just like come right in. I guess the domes are that like, do you remember that?
They're decorative.
Do you remember back in the 90s? Only 90s kids remember this. Do you remember there was a, I don't remember what it was called, but there was like a it's like plastic bubbles.
Yes.
And you can poke them and you will go through, but then you can unpoke them and they will seal back up and yeah. They won't pop.
Oh, shit. What was that? I remember there was like a little straw you had to blow them out of.
It's that.
I'm going to Google plastic bubbles.
It's whatever that is. That's what the domes of Terra Venture are made of, because anyone can come right in.
It's not Bloonies, I'll tell you that.
No, Bloonies is definitely a fetish.
I can't find. Oh, Super Elastic Bubble Plastic was the brand name for a children's toy manufactured from the 70s through the 80s by Wham-O.
Well, that's whatever that was in the 90s, it's those.
Yeah.
It was definitely had a better 90s-er name. Like Bubble Fresh. That's not it. That's bad. Anyway, whatever it was, that's the domes on Terra Venture. It's just made out of that technology. So they throw out a red carpet. He's like lower the planks or whatever. Some pirate term.
Yeah, that is not a red carpet.
Yeah, and so they throw this, they like unfurl a carpet, and as it lands, it turns into stairs. And then Captain Mutiny just walks down and is like, hey, I come in peace. I'm Captain Mutiny, a totally trustworthy gentleman.
He looks around. He's like, no need for weapons. I'm Captain Mutiny. I mean you no harm.
Yeah. There's like 50 Starship Troopers with guns pointed at him. It's actually a pretty cool scene. Like, it's really well done that they're like, all right, he's just boarding regular. We're prepared now. Let's just be ready. But then he's like, don't worry, I'm just Captain Mutiny, no one to be afraid of. And they're
you can
like,
trust me.
They're like, this sounds like a trustworthy guy. We should believe him. And he's like, all right, so about every 100 years, there a ship will float in through the Lost Galaxy, and I have this machine on my home planet, and you got to come get it, though. And then it'll unwrinkle the space-time, and you can just float back out, and you'll be fine. And they're like, okay. And
he also is like, I have doubloons for you.
Yeah, he's like, here's some treasure. And he just puts out a bucket, like a literal like wooden bucket of treasure. Also, at some point right before this, Leo leans over to Carone and is like, do you know who this guy is? And she's like, I've never seen or heard of him in my entire life. And I love that because like,
yeah, Leo knows.
Yeah.
Like if there's a bad dude, astronomer would know.
Yeah, like you got plenty of experience with evil. Do you know this guy? And she's like, Nah. Because even Astronema hasn't been to the Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
Because no one leaves it. You go in and you're done. Apparently. It's just this buck wild thing that exists in Power Rangers lore now that I'm mad never comes back.
Yeah.
That's my only problem. I shouldn't say only problem. I'm sure I'll think of several problems. But that's my big problem with Power Rangers going forward from this point.
None of the lore matters from season to season.
Nothing tracks except for in the crossover episodes. And even then, it's one or two episodes. It's really janky. It's like there's nothing holding it together. It's like from here on out, there are like 15 discrete seasons, like different parallel universes where Power Rangers exist in all of them. And every once in a while they hang out. But like, that's it. The Lightspeed Rescue and the Time Force one I buy. But the Time Force one and the Wild Force one are so at odds with each other that it's just like, cool, whatever. They do end up marrying it very well. I'm very excited to get to that crossover episode for one crazy thing that happens at the end, but that's plural years from now.
Yeah,
we'll get there. But like, I just wish there was. I know there was Hexagon that they talked about, and it would like bring a bunch of things together, wrap a bunch of things up. I wish now, like, I want the Cosmic Zodiac season to be like Power Rangers the show, like bring it all together,
like there's all of this stuff matters and exists in the world that it's in,
like bring it all back together. Also, while we're here, make the Black Ranger a girl, you cowards. that big burly bull should be a lady. That's like,
that would rule.
That would be rad as hell. Name her Nakano, it'll be great. Trust me. Hire me, Power Rangers. Thank you very much. Anyway, so he leaves. He gets back on. Captain Muni leaves. He gets back on his like little thing.
His robot.
Little robot. They row away. And they leave the carpet. They're like, we don't need this anymore. Where we're going, we don't need this carpet. This is for you. It's a gift.
It's a gift. With the doubloons comes this carpet.
And so he just floats away. And Mike's like, so this is a trap, right? Commander's like, I don't know. You just go send a helicarrier anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I don't trust him. And the commander's like, nothing else here makes what any else? Sense. Like, there's nothing else we can do.
And so Mike's like, all right. And he hops in a helicarrier and he flies to this planet, Captain Mutiny's home planet.
Planet Mutiny.
Planet Mutiny. Right before then, though, I keep like missing stuff in my notes. Right before then, Crone's like, this is too easy. And Leo's like, I agree. Oh my God. What is happening here? I also
like that Caron can just be like, that's a bad guy plan.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly what her role should be on this show. Not exactly like her entire role, but that should be a function of Caron, be like, wrong. Like, absolutely not. This is a trick. Mike leaves in the helicarrier to her helicopter.
It's ship. Like a hella ship, I think.
Yeah. So he goes to, like, go pick up the machine, and the Rangers follow him, and so they can, like, you know. And I guess he knows, because at one point he looks back at them when they're on there. So they get to the planet. There's this big crate with a net around it, and they're, like, attaching it to the heliship.
Yeah, this giant crate has barred windows in it.
It's got air holes for a machine? I don't think so. Come on, guys. Use your heads for one second. So Mike takes off and he leaves, and Leo's like, all right, before we follow him, let's just take a look around. Something seems weird. Let's see what's up. So they go over like the next hill, like they are like 45 feet over, and they look over and there is a field of people digging in sand on like around these like wrecked ships.
Yeah.
Or it's a very weird image. And then this is also pretty buck wild, but in a very different way.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is. I think it's Leo. Or no, it's Captain Mutiny.
It's Captain Mutiny.
Captain Mutiny's like, yes, all my slaves. And I was like, oh, we're just, that's what's going on here.
At first, it seemed like you were like, wait, did I hear that right? But then Caron peeks over the hill and is like, oh no, slaves.
Yeah. And it's like, hey.
And Captain Mutiny will say it one more time.
Yeah.
Within these like 3 minutes.
He says it again in like a...
I think Leo even says it because he like just puts it together. Oh, all the ships that come in here, he destroys them and takes their crew to be his slaves to dig slaves. Treasure for him.
Yeah. And he's like, and then Captain Mutiny's like, as soon as I get back with my little gift, I'll take over the colony and make everyone their slaves. And it's like, we're just tossing that around a lot, huh? Wow, Power Rangers. Okay.
It's a little uncomfy in here.
It's a little uncomfy. Here's the good part about this whole scene is that Maya's like, this will not stand. I am not okay with this. No one should live like that. So at least, like, it's weird that they introduced the concept of slaves on Power Rangers, right?
It is, yes.
But what is...
I mean, we've seen stuff like this before, but they've never come
they've
right
never
out
said it.
And said,
yeah.
These are my slaves.
It's just so weird. And then, but at least, like, one of the... And it's only one of them, really. It's only Maya who's like, this is horrible. But at least they are acknowledging it. They're not like, oh, yeah, like how you have slaves, like how there's like slaves in the universe. At least one ranger's like, this isn't right. We can't let this stand. But then one of these people, this like Mad Max looking dude with
his hair is like 100 years long.
Yeah, it looks like the guitarist from Metallica, whose name I do not know.
Kirk,
yeah, nailed it.
Or is that the bassist?
No, it's not the bassist.
It's Kirk something, maybe. Maybe Kirk is part of his last name. I don't know.
I have no idea.
James Hetfield is in Metallica.
There's James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich. The original bassist was Cliff something, and the second one was Jason something, and the third one, I have no idea what his name is. And then the guitarist
was Dave Mustaine for 1 second.
But they kicked him out.
That was someone else who I think his name is Kirk.
I think maybe it's Kirk. Can you tell that we're not huge Metallica fans? So,
despite my sweet Metallica reference last night on Sequinox.
I hope. I know it's not getting edited out. God, I hope it gets edited out. I do genuinely love their album, Ride the Lightning. Like, let's not split hairs here. That's a great album. But other than that, not super a fan. He sees the Power Rangers. This man sees the Power Rangers and is like, help me, help us, please help us.
I don't know if we want to talk about this or not because it's uncomfy.
We're already here. I can cut it.
Because he says, please come help me. And Damon is about to jump the bank and go help him.
Is he?
Yeah. Leo literally pulls him back and is like, well, no, we need to go back to the colony first. We will come back for them.
I think that's a really good wrinkle then. Like, number one, for obvious reasons, I don't think we need to get into that.
Right.
You know, and especially Damon, who is in addition to being African-American, is a working class guy.
Yeah.
Like, there was an episode where at the end he's like, I don't do paperwork. Like, I am, like,
right, yeah.
I get my hands dirty, and that's what I do. And, like, the fact that he is like, yep, gonna go do it, maybe he should have been the Red Ranger.
I feel like any one of them should have been the Red Ranger.
Because they all fucking take off!
Leo's, like, I don't want to say command, but he's like,
we're leaving.
Plan is we have to go back and stop whatever's going to happen on Terra Venture, and then we will come back for them. Buddy, they're right in front of you.
Yeah.
And hey, guess what? Mike's a fucking Power Ranger. Yeah. Call him with your wristwatch and tell him to drop the crate.
That's the, like, they never attempt to call Mike and solve this problem right now. At the very least, they could do something about this.
Yeah.
Like,
and every one of them wants to, except for Leo.
Except for Leo, a horrible Red Ranger. So they start running, which again is just insane to me that the Power Rangers run away from something like this. They are attacked by Rockatron, and some Swabbies come out and they morph and they start fighting the Swabbies. And then we cut back and forth between this fight and Mike delivering the box on Terra Venture. And it's all the Mike delivering the box stuff is what you expect. A box comes down.
It's a helicopter slowly landing a box.
For like 6 minutes. And then we cut back and forth between that. Every time we cut back, we're in like a desert area. We cut back in a jungle in Sentai footage. And they have their Zooks out. And I really like how they're using the bazookas, or the quasar blasters, whatever you want to call
them.
They're
bazookas.
They're Zooks. And they're Zooking over. And like, because they are both batons, like those like American Gladiator cotton swab battle batons that also happen to shoot lasers out of both ends. So doing a lot of really cool like half melee and then shooting in both directions. It's like a really like interesting weapon.
Yeah, they're very cool weapons. Like
it looks different than anything they've shown.
And every time we cut back to the fight, something pretty awesome is happening. Like it's a very good fight. I just love the Swabbies so much.
They're very good.
Their dumb boxer shorts.
They are apparently they are the bad guys for Gingaman. We could have just had them.
Yeah.
I like a buggy. Don't get me wrong. I love the Swabbies.
Yeah.
They're great. But yeah, at one point, like Kai and Karone are like back to back, like spinning in circles, shooting Swabbies. Maya's doing one where she's like shooting in like seven different directions, doing a lot of like spinning the baton, the bazooka, and like every time it spins, it shoots a different way. It's really awesome. It's a really great fight. At one point, Rocketron like bends over and shoots. He has a big rocket on his back. And he, like, leans forward and shoots the rocket. And it lands in front of them, and they're fine. So, like, cool rocket, Rocketron. Like, you're pretty bad at the one thing that you're named after. He gets more mileage out of his Gatling gun hands than he does this one rocket.
Yeah, for sure.
So then Leo Capsular cycles him.
Yep.
And then he dies. He blow up, he grow up.
yep, we're done with Groshans.
Yep.
Now it's blow up, grow up.
And then they call the Galactabuddies, which we've seen them teleport, so sure. And they do live on Terra Venture, so sure. Like I don't have to suspend my disbelief. Like I see the A to B to C. It's a really good thing that they they were there. But like when they show up, it's not in the Sentai footage, obviously, but like Rocketron's like, what is that? Like he's never seen Zords before.
Yeah.
Which I like that. Like the Lost Galaxy is this lawless place that now there are Power Rangers in, and that is like a thing that the bad guys don't necessarily know how to deal with.
Right.
They do grow when they die, but that's just a universal constant for monsters.
They've never died before. They don't know.
Maybe that's true. So there's a fight. There's not a lot.
I don't remember what happens. I think they try to hit him with the sword and he catches it, and then so Leo is just like Stratosphere Galactazord,
well, he
come help.
He spins behind the Megazord. Oh, he does shoot at him with the Gatling gun arms, and it does nothing. And that's when I think he's like, what is this? Like, nothing is, you know,
yeah.
It's crazy. But he spins behind the Megazord at one point and grabs him and says, like, I just turned on my self-destruct mode, and I'm taking you with me. Which is bonkers.
Yeah.
And so then they call Stratosphere.
Stratoforce Megazord.
So it comes down, and it, like, hits him a couple times, and then that, like, opens him up for them to do the sword slashes, and that blows him up.
The whole time, we keep cutting back to, like, his little blinking self-destruct timer, and it's getting faster and faster, and I guess they just managed to keep him in the middle long enough for him to blow up.
I think what they did is they killed him first, so he didn't blow up very big. He just blew up regular style.
Except, they killed him asterisk.
Big asterisk, because he's still alive.
Yeah, he's just kneeled down regular size in the middle of the desert again.
And he's like, oh, I can't believe I failed. And then we hear a very tinny robot voice.
Yep.
And that's...
Then we see a big grilled cheese foot.
That's right. Grilled cheese predator did not die. Deviant is back.
I guess he just bummed a ride into the Lost Galaxy on Terra Venture.
Well, he was on Terra Venture when he was, like,
when
killed.
I guess.
So maybe he wasn't killed because he was all jacked up on book power.
Maybe.
Knowledge is power, you guys. Reading is fundamental and important, and it will make you a big grilled cheese predator, too, if you believe in yourself. And he grabs Rocketron by the back of the head and is like, just gonna real quick take all your energy, hope that's cool. And he zaps all the energy out of Rocketron, drops him, turns back into normal Deviant. And he's like, ah, yes, I'm back to normal. But apparently, like, ostensibly jacked up on robot energy now.
Right.
So he drops Rocketron and starts doing a cool guy walk away. And Rocketron's like, no, give him my energy back before it's too... And then he blows up as John McClane Deviant walks away from the explosion.
Yep. This is crazy.
This episode is buck wild. I cannot believe that this episode happened. So then we cut back to the Rangers as they show up. The there's some Starship Troopers taking a little wood bar off of this cage.
Yeah, they unlock a giant padlock because Mutiny did give Mike a key. I was like, that's all you need, that you'll be able to get the box open with this. So they undo the big chain. They lift the big, like,
which that
Renaissance door lock.
Yeah, it's like
you put a big slab of wood in front of your door to keep people out.
There's like two little brackets you keep so it can't open. When Mutiny gave Mike the key, that should have been a red flag. Like, a machine does not need to be
locked in a crate with bars and air holes.
Like, if it's shut, it's fine. Like, it's not gonna get out. But if it's not a machine, maybe you do want to lock it up. So he opens it as the Rangers land, and they're like, no, don't open it. The door's already open.
Yeah, there's this, like, there's this quick cut back and forth between the two Starship Troopers standing in front of the door. Goes to the Ranger, like, no, don't open it. And it goes back to them, and the door is just creaking open behind them.
And then out pops.
We know its name because we read the...
Its name is Grunchor.
Yeah, that's the. It's in the title for the next episode.
It's called Grunchor, and it looks a lot like what you would imagine a Grunchor would look like.
It's definitely like a snake worm with pincer arms and a big fat head.
And a fat predator head. They just love Jack and Predator swag this season, all of a sudden. It's very bad looking.
It's not a good effect,
like,
at all.
Like, no part of it is good or scary or effective in any way. And then it burrows underground into the...
It shoots lasers at the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And then it burrows into Terra Venture as a whole, or just this dome.
Well, I think they're in the main dome, but it's hard to tell.
So it's in, like, the core of... Terra Venture. It's underground.
Who knows?
I'm going to just assume it's going to be able to pop out wherever it feels like. Physics be damned. Literally. We're in the Lost Galaxy, so you get a pass.
Yeah, we'll put that on the shelf for now. And then we just cut back to Cap Mutiny saying, welcome to the Lost Galaxy. And the show ends. So, Josh.
Yeah.
I started.
You did.
What's the best?
The Swabbies. Are the best. The
Swabbies are very good. I'm going to say the best is those first, like, 5 minutes after the credits, after the theme song, where, like, Commander and Mike walking onto a moon and a ghost talks to him, but oops, it's just a vision.
Is it just a vision, or were they in both places at once?
I don't know, because Mike didn't seem affected. It was only Commander
That's true.
So someone, that's why I thought it was like the ghost of Commander Future, you know?
It could be. It's very difficult to read, and I really do like that.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then like them talking to the like Illuminati, and there's like just this big TV wall for no reason. They're all staticky. It's everything is so surreal for like 7 solid minutes after the credits that I just love it. So that's my best. What's the worst?
Leo,
specifically Leo running away from people in need, begging for his help.
Yep.
It's horrible. It's the dirt worst. And then who's the MVP?
I think it's a tie between Maya and Damon for wanting to be Power Rangers when they were needed.
Yeah, I mean, like, the others, like, Kai didn't really say anything. And Carone just, like, saw what was happening.
She sniffed out a bad guy.
Yeah. So, like, points to them. Well, no points to Kai, because, like, all it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to stand around doing nothing, Kai. Leo, obviously, the worst. Get him out of here. But, like, Maya and Damon, one being like, this is unacceptable, and the other one being like, yep, I will help this person asking for help.
We need help. And Damon is like, yeah, you do.
Yeah, let's
I will come help you. And then Leo is like, no.
No, we gotta leave because we can't just call Mike. We're in the Lost Galaxy.
You're awful.
I hate Leo.
Leo's the worst. So yeah, Maya and Damon, co-MVPs this time. This episode's so weird.
It is very weird.
So many things happen. And like, I'm kind of into it, like, in a big way. So let's rank it.
Okay.
Now, is it better than Enter the Lost Galaxy? The last episode.
What happened in that episode? Oh, that was with Grilled Cheese DVI.
Yeah, so Grilled Cheese DVI shows up. He gets the book. The Guardian is there that Kai is a little sweet on.
No, I don't think so. The Guardian ruled.
I love the Guardian, but I think this is a better episode.
I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, here's what's right above. And what's right below. So right above At Hellas Galaxy is Stolen Beauty. Right below it is Turn Up the Volume.
It's definitely not better than Stolen Beauty. I think it is better than Turn Up the Volume.
So
because I was only really mad at this episode for 1 minute as opposed to 12 minutes
for half of it. So I think I can put it below Enter the Lost Galaxy. A lot happened, and the Guardian did rule.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, uncomfy slave stuff.
Yeah, the only thing...
Which is just, like, a thing that's hard to talk about, if like, because we're not qualified to,
yeah.
You know?
The only thing in Enter the Lost Galaxy that bothered me was Kai just snuck into the book room somehow.
That's just a continuity thing, though. That happens
but
all the time.
I can look past that. I can't look past Leo actively not wanting to be a Power Ranger in the moment.
Like, can you imagine? Can you fucking imagine the Turbo Rangers or the In Space Rangers being like TJ, like when they lost their power, TJ's like, we're going to space now. They're like, yeah, obviously we're going to space now. Like, we don't have powers, but we have to. Can you imagine like Leo being like, no, we should go? Like,
could any one
of them would have killed Leo right then.
Can you imagine Jason looking over a hill at actual slaves and being like, we'll come back for them?
Yeah. No, we need to go first.
Tommy wouldn't even do that.
No. Like, this is no set of Power Rangers before this would react to this situation as badly as just Leo. Everyone else seemed to be kind of like,
yeah.
Like, no, we got to do the Power Ranger thing. And Leo's like, no, for whatever reason. We gotta go fight in the jungle desert over there.
Well, he wanted to get back to Terra Venture to stop Terra Venture from...
Just text him. You got watches.
Yeah, exactly. Like, should not be an issue. You have talked through them before.
It's absolutely bonkers that happened. And like, yeah, like you put any Power Ranger in Leo's shoes right then, and you have a different episode. Literally any single one.
Yeah.
It's just insane to me, like, how bad Leo is.
And that's why I think it's worse than Enter the Lost Galaxy.
Well, coming in at number 9 is Beware the Mutiny. Did not expect any of this stuff to happen in this episode. It was so wild.
I didn't know what to expect, but it was not this.
No. Next episode is called, like, Grunchor.
Grunchor on the Loose.
On the Loose. It's a bad looking monster, so.
I hope they just kill it, and we don't have to worry about Grunchor for more than one episode.
So, like, you know how, like, they're, like, super into Predator right now?
Yeah, they just love it.
I hope next episode is Tremors. I hope next episode is just literally Tremors.
We already did Alien.
We've done Alien. I think Tremors is next.
It has to be.
We've done Alien. We've done The Fly.
We've been doing Starship Troopers the whole time.
Yeah, it's very short. I think we've done The Thing before in space when Carlos was the bug.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of The Thing in space. We've done way back when we did They Live. Like, we've done a lot of classic action horror movies. I think it's time for Tremors. And this is the best way to do a grunge horror, because just don't show it.
It sounds like a
Pokemon.
Like a chip snack, like Munchos. I'm going to run out and get some grunge horrors. Do you need anything?
I could get down on some grunge horrors right now. also, it is what Snorlax evolves into.
A Grunchor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's going to do it for us for today. We'll see you on Friday for Grunchor on the Loose. But until then,
may the power protect you.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
You come back.
Oh, I do, don't I?
Yeah.